And now we're joined by our second guest, Councillor Pat Bourke from Whitegate. Pat has a forest of ash, which has been affected by ash dieback, which is all over the country, really. And I was just reading an article there on the Clare Champion, Clash of the Ash, Dieback, the hitting Clare herd. And there's 24,000 acres in the country, Pat, of, I didn't realise there was as much ash planted that time. So you might give us a bit of a detail on the ash dieback and all that kind of...
Okay, Pat, and thanks for having me in this morning to talk about this issue. I suppose to give you a little bit of background on my own, back in 2011, I planted 14 or 15 acres of ash that time. I was at the show down in Bridgetown in the summer of 2010, and I met the company there, Greenbelt, and they were promoting the planting of ash. This was the way forward. I had a square of lesser land, I suppose I'll call it. I had a good farm rented beside my own farm, so this bit of surplus land which wasn't producing as much as the better land, So I had a good chat with the lads that day, and following meeting them at their stand at the Bridgetown show, the following spring in February 2011, they arrived on site and planted, as I said, 14 or 15 acres of ash. 2 years later, in 2013, they came then, Greenbelt were managing it for the first 4 years, and three or four lads came in the springtime of 2013, and they had to go home again to buy a stronger pruners. They were pruning the ash that had grown so vigorously, if you like, for 2 years, because there's natural ground for ash. All the bounds was mature ash trees. This was maybe better land than I thought. And they hadn't come across the ash being so strong that they had to get stronger pruners in 2013. So I suppose the point I'm making is that everything was looking good. Everything was looking good for this plantation, with thinnings after 10 to 15 years, and ash butts thin for hurley making another 10 years after that, kind of a 25-year project, if you like. And so good for the environment and good for everything else. And obviously there was a bit of a sweetener in the premiums available. So look, I made the decision, planted in 2011, everything looking good, until the dreaded word ash dieback disease hit. And you know, you'd say to yourself, Asher, that'll never affect me. It'll be somebody else's problem, which I suppose wouldn't be the right approach to take. But talking to other farmers who had ash and that, that mightn't come at all, or it might blow away, or it might do this or that. So it was brought into the country under the supervision of the department, of course, in 2012, where they imported ash saplings which contained this virus. And we know what has happened since, Pat. In 14, 15, 16, 17, along those years, my very shrewd neighbour who takes a walk past my farm, Tommy Holland, said, Pat, I think your trees are starting to suffer. I hadn't spotted it myself now. And we went in then, and we walked the plantation. Then I got other forest advisors and that. And excuse me, lo and behold, I had the ash dieback disease, and it has got worse and worse. So I started, I suppose, in my role wearing my county councillor's hat then, rattling a few cages with the department, writing to various ministers, dealing with Johnstown Castle, getting plenty of representations, if you like, from other people with ash dieback in the East Clare area. And unfortunately, despite all my efforts and the efforts of other people, we're still waiting for an answer from the department on ultimately compensation, and what do we do going forward while these trees are dying in front of our eyes, if you like.
And they don't appear to be giving you any license or anything to take out the stuff. It's useless anyway, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Well, some of it may be salvaged for firewood. But the problem there is, you see, because unless a landowner is prepared to do this work themselves, which in some cases they are, to be fair, but you see, the average plantation in County Clare is 2 to 3 acres, where somebody planted the corner of a field. So 2 to 3 acres versus 15 acres is, you know, so the contractors are, I was talking to a man down in Thurles actually, who had a couple of these machines for taking out ash, and harvesters and all that, and he's gone out of business because of the delay. Yeah. And he had a number of people employed, and they were covering nearly every county in Ireland, well, certainly all the southern half of the country, and they're gone out of business. Okay. So some farmers, yeah, did apply. Now, I applied for the reconstitution scheme, but that was only a SOP, if you like, or just to keep us off their back, yeah. A reconstitution scheme where they would grant aid taking out and replanting. But the hold up in the Department of Forestry dealing with the felling licences, yeah, as you referred to, is gone on for a backlog. Ages, now they're, yeah, starting to clear it now. At Christmas, they wrote to us and asked us to sign a form to opt in to stay in that scheme. Yeah. But while all that is going on, the minister responsible, Pippa Hackett, promised us last September that she would put an independent group to have a look at the whole issue last September with an announcement before Christmas. Here we are now in the middle of March and still no package, no compensation package. So we're still waiting now with an election coming up. Sometimes things happen a bit quicker. Now, I know, granted, it's local and European election, but if there was a general election coming up,
there'd be pressure on,
and they're good at delivering things prior to elections and that. But yeah, I suppose for the last number of years, speaking to the likes of Tim Lumber down in Cork and Martin Hayden in Kildare, junior ministers in agriculture and that, and I've met them often, and you know, they say, God, Pat, I know where you're coming from, but you know, we have housing, we have health, we have all the other issues that cabinet, yeah, have to deal with. The ash dieback was down the pecking order, which isn't good enough either.
No, we
planted in good faith,
yeah.
No way at all responsible for bringing in the disease or anything like, yeah, that. And here we are left. I mean, if I had that land now, back in agricultural land, and you know yourself, Pat, what it would be worth even to rent,
yeah,
it out. And I have big enough dairy farmers surrounding me and that. And gee, because you'd be in demand if I had it. So it's tied up now. The gate is closed. The trees are dying, and there's nothing from government.
Yeah, and is there any end to this ash dieback, Peter? Have they found any way of treating it or stopping it? Because can you plant again sometime?
They wouldn't be advising that under the reconstitution scheme. They'd be encouraging hardwood, certainly, beech and oak and that, but there's no recommendation to replant with ash. And just on that, of course, in relation to that, is the roadside trees, which, you know, people who never planted ash and have ash on their roadside, landowners with ash on the roadsides, you know, we're looking for the government there to fund local authorities, to fund local Clare County Council, to come up with a strategy and a funding mechanism. How are these trees going to be dealt with on the sides of roads? It's a very serious issue. We see in the storms there now, and I have some ash on the side of the road myself now, adjacent to the plantation at home. And when we get a storm, you'll see bits of rotten boughs on the road and that kind of thing. God forbid, you know, you go out and clear it up, but that's another issue. Farmers, just, I had the man on to me during the week in the Scariff Parish, actually, and I advised him that if your ash tree has the disease, and it's quite obvious it has, take a photograph of it and start your chainsaw and knock it. If you have photographic evidence. Now, the season is closed from
now,
the 1st of February, the 1st of March to the 1st of September. Mm-hmm. But if the tree, if you feel it's unsafe, take a photograph of it and knock it, get somebody to knock it or whatever, knock it back into the field if you can at all, and make it safe. I'd stand behind anyone who would do that. The Parks and Wildlife might have something else to say in it, but it's surely to God road safety at the end of the day. It's vital, and it's just a miss, Pat, you know, unfortunately, all aspects of
it's
it.
A miss, yeah,
where the government and the Minister for Transport is turning a blind eye to the road safety issue, of ash, you know, on rural roads and regional roads as well, indeed.
What uses is it possible? You mentioned firewood a while ago. Are there any other uses that, you know, dead trees can be put to? I'm just thinking of what do you call the firewood, the little pellets?
Pellets,
yeah.
Yeah. There is, Jim, actually, and I was talking to another man with an ash plantation during the week, and he was talking to somebody about taking out these ash trees, mulching the whole lot, and they would be taken to a plant in Edenderry, I presume, for what you're talking about, for wood pellets, or mulching, or taking them there anyway to be processed. That's as much as I know about it, but there is a facility or a plant up in Edenderry in County Offaly. That's if you can get a contractor to come in with all this gear to do work and blow it into Artix and draw it up to Edenderry. Do you know? So you probably want a good square of ground for them to make it worth their while, maybe, for that.
Because you see there where ships be going into Fines, which we loaded on with a wood chip from the ESB station.
That's right. I brought that up at the council meeting. Another sort of attack, and don't, you know what I mean? I'm all for the environment and that, but it was an attack at the Green Party, and, you know, Eamon Ryan and cutting down on emissions, and yet we'll bring shiploads of this, into Fines, unload it there, bring it up to Edenderry or to one of these places, while we have the trees rotting in our own country. Where is the logic?
No logic
whatsoever, you know, that's very frustrating.
It was the same with the felling licences going back over the last couple of years, where we were importing timber at a price, and we had loads of timber ourselves that we couldn't get.
That's right, because of the hold-up in the felling licences. All very frustrating, and I could never get an answer to that, if you know what I mean. And you go into the Department of Agriculture, you visit them at the ploughing match, and you speak to officials and all of that, which has just been sent from
I know, even, I'm just thinking, you said there that there are a number of people who have large ash plantations which are dying, but you have a number of people who are small plantations.
Yes.
Even to photograph those now and clear them. I mean, at least you have the land back.
Yeah.
And, you know, once the photograph is taken and once...
That's right.
We know they existed.
Right. Yes.
We can fight about the...
Afterwards.
The grants and things afterwards.
Afterwards, provided you can get somebody to do the work. Now, that reminds me of another small plantation in East Clare where a man told me where the trees are falling in the storm, and ones that are, you know... well rotten, I suppose, to use that phrase. He's gone out there, taken down them trees, not asking for any permission, and he's replanting with a hardwood. He's putting back an oak or a beech or something. And he's saying to himself, well, if they visit me someday, I'll show them what I'm doing. And he's salvaging a bit of firewood for his own use.
Yes. Surely
to God, he's not doing anything wrong.
No.
But he's not supposed to do it.
You do need a licence to fell dead trees.
You do, except for the roadside trees that are a road safety issue.
You take
a photograph of the tree and by all means take it down. And then if somebody's driving past the road and they're horrified to see a tree be knocked, well, at least you have the evidence. Yes. You have the photographic evidence. It was only this week now I got confirmation of that from a senior person in Clare County Council to go down that road, if you pardon the pun.
Yes.
But it's very frustrating. I attended a big meeting of Ash plantation owners down in the Dome in Thurles.
Yeah, John Twobby was telling he was down there.
We
were down in his place there, and we were actually inside in his wood, myself and Anthony Linehan, and we interviewed him there last year.
And down to the Dome in Thurles, the home of hurling, the Clash of the Ash, you know, a fantastic facility.
And the history of it.
300 or 400 landowners from all over the country, a number from County Clare, and we came away that day out of Thurles positive enough. The Simon White in Limerick, you know, I must compliment him. He's every morning he gets up, he's rattling their cages as to how he has a large enough ash plantation in County Limerick. A very good fella. And the Tipperary and Woodland Owners
Association.
And we came away that day positive that a delegation was formed to go and meet the minister. That was last summer, Pat, I'd say, July, August, maybe along there. Then following that, I suppose, the minister and her officials came up with the review of the compensation package, and we're still waiting for those.
Yes, reviews can take a long time.
Reviews sit on the shelf, Jim, unfortunately. But I think, you know, I'd be hopeful now in the next couple of months. The other day we had, in the County Council chamber, we had a presentation from the IFA, the new chairman from this area, Stephen Walsh, and Dinis Toohey and others. And one of the things they were speaking about was the roadside trees and the ash dieback. So I included in, while we were allowed questions, and that was the ash plantations themselves. And there's a Green Party councillor in County Clare, Councillor Liam Grant from Lahinch, and in fairness to him, any time I've hopped it off him, you know, he has gone to his party colleague Pippa Hackett, and he's come back with a response. I'm waiting from him now for this one, but I'm not a bit afraid to speak out about it. And he sits across from me, and I said, Councillor Grant, I'm appealing to you yet again to go to your minister, you know, because she won't listen to me so much as a Fine Gael councillor on the ground, but when one of her own party members
will go to her.
So it's a big issue all over Clare Pat, and it's well worth speaking about, because it's so sad. I mean, when I drive out my own backyard gate at home and I'm looking across the road at these trees dying, it's sad actually to see and that the government are so slow in helping us or advising us as to what should be done.
And we say, you know, the land isn't productive in a lot of years now with this type of...
That's right, a lot of years lost, as I said, if it was back in of course, under the terms, when you sign up, you're signing up to forestry going forward, you know, and replanting and all of that. But this could be slightly different. And if we don't get fair compensation here, we could take the law into our own hands a bit, possibly. Do you know what I mean? Now, of course, they'd come after us then for the premiums to pay back and all that. But look, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But we need news. We need an announcement on this sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's very difficult, and hopefully you'll get a good result of it, Pat, because it's just going on a long time.
It is, going on far too long now. A number of years have been lost, if you like.
Pat, I suppose there's another issue there we might just have a talk smart out of it, and we've plenty of rain since last July. It's never rained, never rained. There's no need to wetland. Where Clare farmers brace for impact as EU passes nature restoration law. So this is a big controversial issue farmers about that.
Yes, I think I feel you should have Sean Kelly MEP sitting here on that and see what would he say.
We've had him a few times.
I heard him on the radio the morning, actually, and he passed that. You know, Sean Kelly, he's a rural man, he's a farmer's man. He's out there in Brussels in a big comfortable chair, and he passes this. So look at my knowledge of it, Pat. I suppose the re-wetting of lands. My God, as you say, the land is wet enough now. Geez, I have to be careful what I say here. You could have farmers out there. What is that lad talking about? The re-wetting of land. I suppose the little knowledge I have of it, I suppose, from what I can gather at the moment anyway, and having spoken to Sean Kelly, is that state-owned lands initially is what's being looked at here. Large tracts of land owned by Bordnamona, Quilcha, the OPW were mentioned as well. And at the moment anyway, it's a voluntary scheme.
And are these lands which have been drained previously?
Yes, but the Bordnamona lands in particular, in the Midlands, I suppose, have been drained. And with the ending of commercial, the peat briquettes are gone now, as we know, and that kind of thing. So re-wetting that land, there's large, I don't know how many thousand hectares was mentioned up in the Midlands, owned by the state, owned by Bordnamona. So let them wet them away and leave the rest of us alone.
Yes, we're wet enough.
I suppose, Pat, if you're joining a bog, one of those bogs, and they block up the drains.
Yes.
And if we maybe a bit of land beside it, if we were there and beside it, if it goes to a high, where is it going to go on the ocean? Your place?
You'd hope your land was higher anyway, wouldn't you? That's the issue, I suppose. That's why it's been touted, you know, that the re-wetting of lands, as you say, if you have farmland adjacent to a bog and they wet the bog, what happens then? So, look, that's the big concern, I suppose, at the moment. While it's voluntary for landowners, that's not much good if your neighbouring state lands are re-wetted and you're adjoining them, you could be in bother.
And I suppose there's a big issue as well with cutting down the herd and all that. And so we probably have one of the best countries in the world for producing food.
Yes.
Natural food in Ireland, we'd say beef and all that kind of
that's
stuff.
Right, that's right, that's right. Again, I suppose the resolution that the IFA asked us to put down in the council and send to the Minister for Agriculture, the Taoiseach, and that is that there would be no further stress put or new regulations put on farmers without first sitting down with the IFA, to see. Because it's changing every week. I was talking to a man the other day, you know, the stocking rates, and you mentioned the national herd, where unknowns to most people then, they come along and nearly on a weekly, or certainly a monthly basis, they'll adjust the figures for kilograms of organic matter and that. They'll adjust them without any consultation. You know, I don't have the figures off the top of my head now.
Yeah.
But they're constantly implementing that without any negotiations with farmers, the custodians of the land.
Yeah,
do you know? And I think farmers have invested so much in the last 20 years, you know, tidying up their farmyards with their, you know, slatted houses.
Huge amount of work gone into that.
Huge amount of work, yeah. And it reminds me again, and I'm sorry now for going back to the Green Party again, and Minister Eamon Ryan, and I actually invited him to my farm. I said, Minister, you're invited to my farm anytime, where I'd like to think I farm in an environmentally friendly way. And not because you're asking us to do it, but because we're doing it anyway. Investing in facilities and that type of thing, and keeping, you know, watching the slurry dates for spreading and all of that. Farmers are no best themselves, but of course there's always maybe an odd chancer out there that gives a bad name to everybody, unfortunately. The re-wetting of the land, certainly Sean Kelly is your man he's the man who passed it. He'll be around looking for votes now too shortly.
The European Parliament or the European elections will be coming up, so we might
get
him in someday. Pat, thanks very much for your time. I think our time is up, so thanks for your time.
Not at all, Pat, delighted.
And we'll have you in again. There's a big election coming up in June.
So round table. The table will be full, will it?
We'll be on it talking again.
Very good, very good. Thanks very much.
Okay, thanks, Pat.
Okay.